Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So the Winter Olympics officially open on Friday, and the Twitterverse and mainstream media are filled with stories of construction delays. The first question was, will Sochi be safe? Now it's, will Sochi be ready? To talk about whether this venue is really farther behind than other host cities have been at this point, I'm joined by Timothy Heritage from Sochi. He's the Brussels Bureau Chief and European Affairs Editor for Reuters. Timothy, thank you for giving us a few minutes. Hello from New York.
Hello there.
So was your hotel ready, or are you one of the journalists who got moved to another venue?
Some of the things didn't work quite, but at least there was a hotel room there for me when I arrived. So I was one of the lucky ones, yes.
And by the way, can you explain the start of the games? There are qualifying events on Thursday, but the games officially open with the opening ceremonies on Friday. People will actually be competing before the opening ceremonies?
That's right. That's just the way they've set it up. But the official opening is definitely on Friday. There's no events that day, but Putin and about 40 or so other world leaders will be there to open it officially.
And listeners, if you have any question for a reporter from Sochi, we have Timothy Heritage from Reuters on the phone, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or tweet at Brian Lehrer or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Who's there already besides you journalists? When do the crowds show up?
They're not here in great numbers at the moment. It does look like they're not going to get as many people as they'd planned to get. So far, it's mainly the journalists following each other around and trying to see if they've got any more hotel rooms.
And, of course, they need to prioritize the athletes' housing and the sports venues, but leaving the journalists' hotel rooms for last seems like it's asking for it's a disaster coverage, isn't it?
Well, this is a point that they just made at a press conference today, that the IOC, that, of course, you know, they have prioritized the athletes and all their accommodations ready and the officials. But if you have unhappy journalists, you're probably not going to get the coverage you want of the games. So they've pulled out all the stops to try and get them ready. And apparently there's about 2-3% of the rooms that are not quite ready. They've all been built, they say, but some of them are lacking the final touches, which hopefully will be finished by Friday.
So it's not that they haven't been built, it's just about final touches. Is that as bad as it is?
That's what they say, yes. I mean, that was the latest we had half an hour ago from the International Olympic Committee, yeah.
So the doesn't inspire confidence list could include all the finishing touches aren't there yet, and our maybe it'll be okay list includes the basic infrastructure seems to be in place.
I think so, yes. I think they're going to be just about there in time. I mean, you might find there are some who will contradict that on the day, but I think they're getting pretty close to it now.
Deadspin, the sports site, rounded up some reports, including this from a Canadian journalist, quote, almost every room is missing something. Light bulbs, TVs, lamps, chairs, curtains, Wi-Fi, heat, hot water. Shower curtains are a valuable piece of the future. The future black market here, shower curtains. One American photographer was simply told, you will not get a shower curtain. And this tweet from Chicago Tribune reporter Stacy St. Clair, quote, my hotel has no water. If restored, the front desk says, do not use on your face because it contains something very dangerous. Yikes. Have you seen anything like that?
No, the worst I've had was there was no water on in my room when I got there. I've heard stories like that as well. A lot of brown gunge coming out of the tap at when people arrived. But a lot of these things have been put right. Some people don't have the internet, and they don't have television working, light bulbs, as you say, and stuff. And the rooms are quite bare, and they're quite new, and they all smell of fresh paint. So we're almost there, but those problems, you know, we're going to have to live with, I think.
And it's funny, but it kind of looks to us like the journalists are tweeting about the dogs running around and the subpar plumbing, while the athletes are sending pictures of the gorgeous scenery. So maybe where you sleep determines where you stand on Sochi readiness at this point.
I think it probably does. And the other question, as you said, was the security, and that certainly is in place and ever present.
The Olympic Committee is saying that only a small percentage of rooms aren't ready. But do you get the sense that they're nervous in a bigger way? And I don't even mean about security, which, of course, everybody's worried about, but in an infrastructure sense, like either the things just are not going to be ready to provide what's needed, and or that they're going to be really embarrassed on the world stage.
Well, that's the obvious concern, because this is a game that, on which Putin's staked so much personally. And he said when he won the games in 2007, he implied this is a way to show how good Russia is, what it can achieve on the world stage. So any sign that they won't achieve what he set out to do is clearly an embarrassment, and one can expect some ramifications afterwards for people who haven't really achieved what they should have done. It's an embarrassment, although there's not a lot of signs of that among some of the officials here, who seem to brush off some of the concerns, whereas the others, the IOC, have been pushing them very hard to get it done. But yes, clearly on the world stage, it's an embarrassment for Putin if things don't go as well as he'd planned.
212-433-WNYC for Timothy Heritage from Reuters in Sochi. Josephine on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Well, I heard about the water, but I also heard, and I think it was CNN, but I'm not sure, that you couldn't put a toilet paper down the toilet. There was another receptacle. You had to fish out, and well, not put it there. You had to put it in this bag. And then I heard the hackers were already trying to get information from iPads and iPods, and everyone was told not to have any financial information on your phones. Have you heard that?
Yes, we had a similar warning from ourselves not to do that, because we were advised before the games quite a long time ago that the Federal Security Services would be monitoring all the calls that were made and the internet to see what was going on. And yes, that would include the fact that, of course, there could be hackers out there, and Russia does have quite a reputation for being able to do that kind of thing, ordinary Russians, I mean. As for the receptacles in the bathroom, that's actually quite a common thing in Russia, and it's not unusual for that to be the setup in everybody's homes, actually, that you wouldn't put paper down the toilet. So that actually isn't very unusual if you've been here a while, but it would be for people coming in for the first time.
Josephine, thank you. You wrote about the environmental activist who is detained en route to deliver a report on the damage caused by some of this construction, right?
That's right, yes.
So connecting with her question about monitoring of what journalists are putting out, are there concerns that there's not going to be the ability to report freely?
No, I don't think there's any concern about the ability to report freely in the sense of whatever information you get, you can put out. I don't think that's a concern. I think it's more the question that there is a question of one's personal banking items and stuff like that, but information that you wouldn't want people to get out. I don't think it would really affect the way we report from here. It might be difficult sometimes to get information in a place like this. But once you have it, there's no restrictions on what you could put out.
Putin pardoned a lot of prisoners at the end of the year, which was seen as an effort to defuse human rights protests. Do you have a sense of whether the Olympics have been good or bad for human rights in general, at least in the short term?
Well, I mean, the impact clearly of having an amnesty was good for those that got released. Pussy Riot, the protest group that performed in a church against Putin, they were released as part of that amnesty. And his biggest critic and the most famous political prisoner, as described in the West, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, former oil tycoon, he was released as well, pardoned and released. And of course, that was widely seen by Putin's critics as simply a cosmetic attempt to improve his image before the games after having such criticism. But at the same time, there's been a lot of reports of such as this week, of environmental activists being rounded up, not being able to come to the games. And one of Putin's other big critics, Alexei Navalny in Moscow, not being allowed to come to the games, largely because I think it was a stage that was seen as possibly for criticizing Putin. So in that respect, I think a lot of people would argue that that everything's balanced off against each other, and there may be good things, there may be bad things, but overall, there isn't a major change in the situation.
Susanna in Ridgewood, originally from Sochi. Is that right, Susanna?
Exactly.
What would you like to tell us about your hometown?
I just want to tell you guys that the city itself is so attractive, but the idea of Mr. Putin to make the Olympics there was absolutely against the wish of so many people there, because they knew they would lose their homes, they would lose everything. The people who lived on the sites where the Olympic Games are going to take place. And besides the negative attitude to president, I don't want to go into details. I'm sure most of you know what a horrible life right now people have in that country. So makes the Olympic Games very sour. And the people who live there have no chance to get out of their homes during the whole month, because President Putin said they should never show up anywhere. So they provided themselves with food, with everything possible to survive during this period. So
he wants to hide the locals? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. And who wants to go to, you know, to a place just to buy bread or something when they're afraid that they will be stopped and God knows they can put them into prison?
How about
it's
any?
Really,
it sounds terrible. Is there also
it
an economic?
Terrible, but.
Go ahead.
It sounds terrible, but you know what? It's the real truth. And that's I'm talking about the permanent residents of Sochi. But what about the people who would like to go, who live in Russia and like to go there? They cannot even get a ticket because he made such a, you know, unbelievable security, installed such incredible measures for security as if somebody is going to do something. It's all just because he's afraid of his own shade.
Why do you think, Susanna, and you're going to get the last word, I think, in this segment as we start to run out of time, why do you think Putin put these Olympics in Sochi, relatively small town, when other areas of Russia maybe have more pressing infrastructure needs, and also it's close to the volatile Caucasus region, which is why there's the terrorism fear? Why do you think Sochi?
I personally think that because he has an enormous palace on the shore of the Black Sea. It's so nice to stay there. Second, he can take a lot of money from the budget of the country under the pretext that he would start building Olympic, you know, side Olympic buildings. And under this pretext, billions of dollars went to offshore companies, and we all know where and to whose pockets they now reside.
Who do you have in mind there?
Excuse me?
Who do you have in mind there?
I don't want to even to mention. I'm sure
you're not
going to
do that one. All right. Susanna, thank you so much. I really appreciate you piping up. We have 20 seconds, Timothy, for you to fill in the blank that Susanna just left there, if you happen to know. Otherwise, are the locals being shunted aside?
Well, there's been Putin himself described Sochi as the world's biggest construction site, and I think that's had an impact. People haven't been able to get out or in for security reasons
and
during the games. So yes, it's tough.
And $40 billion over budget, from what I read. Timothy Heritage, Brussels bureau chief, European affairs editor for Reuters, in Sochi today. Thanks for coming on with us. Enjoy yourself there.
Thanks.